In a hospital in Mexico, the doctors come out of the examining room and gave the sad news to their friend, a fellow doctor, that the doctor's wife had spinal meningitis. Approximately several months before, her and her husband were invited to a ranch for a barbecue. There, the main meal that was served was pork. The pigs were probably slaughtered there at the ranch. For those of us who, for those that do eat pork, there's only two ways to eat pork: well done and very well done. The reasons being, the well-cooked meat will kill off all parasites that are lodged in the pork meat. Obviously, the meat was not properly cooked that evening. It was concluded that meningitis was a complication and is a complication of trichinosis. Pigs have many parasites, the trichinella worm being one of them. Trichinosis is also known as trichinellosis. It's a disease called by a species of roundworm called trichinella. These parasitic roundworms are found in animals that eat meat: pigs, bears, foxes, walruses, and wild boar. That includes, the list goes on, as tigers and lions and other animals. You can contract trichinosis if you eat raw or uncooked meat from an animal infected with trichinella. According to the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, approximately 10,000 cases of trichinosis are diagnosed every year. This is worldwide. Trichinosis is fairly rare in the United States, since there are strict laws for meat processing and animal feed. One of the budget cuts is the USDA, so let's hope they don't cut down on meat inspectors. And animal feed have a lot to do with it, too. In fact, an average of only 400 trichinosis cases are reported each year in the United States. The disease is most commonly seen in the rural areas, backyard barbecues, etc. Basically, what they found out is farmers no longer feed hogs raw undercooked meat anymore. What they mean by that is, back on a farm, when farmers usually raise chickens and other animals along with pigs, and if every morning if there's dead chickens in the hen house, they'll throw it to the hog farm and the pigs, and the pigs will eat dead chickens. It is all grain and powder feed now. So who knows what they eat. Most people say that pigs are filthy and they eat garbage, they eat decaying flesh. And in rural settings, they will eat garbage. And sometimes the pigs are scattered in the garbage dumps. When I was brought up in Mexico, and I'd go to the landfill on occasion to dump trash. And there I would see a herd of pigs rooting up the landfill. But I also found dogs and people. My title of my sermonette today, brethren: are pigs really that bad? I have been at church gatherings in which the subject of conversation is unclean animals. And pigs are given a tongue-lashing. By the time the conversation is over, the pigs are verbally eviscerated, burned, and condemned. I can bet the ones that are giving the tongue lashings never raised a pig. Or even furthermore, they haven't even seen one. I raised pigs when I was younger. We had a ranch and we raised pigs. We raised them at 6 months and then you turn them over to the market. Pigs in a pen will go to sleep in one corner, eat and drink in another corner, and do their necessities in another. Chickens won't do that, and neither will cattle. They'll, if they, some, one of the cattle poops in the trough with the other cattle, well, they'll eat that too. But that's why God put two stomachs in them. We had a particular pig that we grew fond of when we were young, because at 6 months, after 6 months, animals gain to start gaining more fat than meat. So you, whatever feed you put them, you're basically wasting it. So after 6 months, we'd turn them over. But there was a particular one, his name was, we named him Nicholas, because obviously he was born in Christmas. So we named him Nicholas. And I don't know if, how many of you know what a Duroc breed is. Does anyone know what a Duroc breed is? Yeah, a Duroc breed is 3 or 4 feet high and weigh up to 1,500 pounds. Anyway, Nicholas would, when we'd water them down in the summer, all the pigs would turn around and let the water hit their back. But Nicholas wouldn't. He'd face it and try to bite at the water. And he'd play with us. He'd grab the hind of our pants and play tug of war with us. And we thought it was cute. Well, Nicholas went up to 6 months, then 8 months, then a year. And every time we'd go into the pig pen, Nicholas wanted to play. And he'd throw our snow, we'd end up for one end of the pig pen. And he didn't want us to leave, so he'd lean up against the and we couldn't move. Finally, Nicholas left. But they're smart. Pigs are smart. God gave the pig a duty. And you heard me last time. And their job is the same as the possums and the vultures and everything else. They're grazers, primarily grazers, just like chickens are. They eat grass. But they'll eat anything to survive because they are survivors. When a pig is under stress, he'll go up, have 12 piglets. And they'll have piglets twice a year. So they can multiply real fast. And there is a saying, you are what you eat, and especially in animals. Dr. Don Colbert has written several books, and he came out in the magazine Discern about pigs. It caught my attention. In his book, What Would Jesus Eat?, Dr. Colbert provides many reasons that he believes pork should be avoided. Now, obviously, Dr. Colbert doesn't go attend church. It doesn't sound like it. He writes, pigs eat enormous amounts of food, and this dilutes the hydrochloric acid in pig's stomach. This, in turn, allows toxins, viruses, parasites, and bacteria to be absorbed into the animal's flesh. They will eat garbage, feces, and other decaying flesh. All that is eaten usually becomes part of the pig's own flesh. Pigs readily harbor parasites, including trichinella, the pork tapeworm, and toxoplasmosis. That was on his last book. There are parasites that survive going through your stomach without eating enormous amounts of food. So that caught my eye, because the worm survives our hydrochloric acid just fine, and so do tapeworms. Tapeworms survive it great without it. As a matter of fact, they need the hydrochloric acid to break down. There's a shell that they have, and it dilutes it to go ahead and allow their larvae to go through. I'll talk to you more about that. Parasites can go through the digestive tract, both in humans and animals, regardless of hydrochloric acid levels. Worms stay in your large intestines. Tapeworms stay in your large intestines and can get up to 10 to 20 feet long, and even longer. They feed on your food that is being digested through a large intestine. The raw worms, humans can contract trichinosis when they eat raw or undercooked meat infected by trichinella. Why, Mark, are you talking about worms? Well, I'm telling you about what the one side of eating pork would be. And it doesn't really have to be pork. After the parasites are ingested, the acids in the stomach dissolves the cyst, which is a protective capsule surrounding the larvae. When the hard covering of the cyst is dissolved, the larvae enters into the intestine, where they are matured into adult worms and reproduce. The female worms then release their larvae into the bloodstream, allowing them to migrate through the blood vessels into your muscles. Once they are in the muscles, the worms encapsulate into the muscle tissue, and that's where they live an extended period of time. Now, spinal meningitis, although rare, can come out of these complications. Because remember, it goes into muscle tissues. And if it goes close to your nerve, by your spinal column, in the case of the doctor's wife, those symptoms, the symptoms she had were a flu. It sounded like a flu. They thought it was a flu. They had thought she had back problems and migraines. But by the time they diagnosed it, it was too late. Now, the other parasites that cause toxoplasmosis, which is an infection caused by parasite called Toxoplasma gondii. Okay? It can be found in cat feces and undercooked meat, especially venison, lamb, and pork. It can also be transmitted through contaminated water. Toxoplasmosis can be deadly or cause serious birth defects for fetuses. Most people who have toxoplasmosis never have any symptoms at all. This is according to CDC. According to CDC, over 60 million people in the United States are infected with the parasite. Now, let's digress. Biblical times, people had lots of parasites. They ate mainly in a plant-based diet, which was good. Probably not washing their food, utensils, or personal hygiene that took a toll on people back then. That's why they criticized the Jews about their ritual about washing their bowls, because it was, we had to go live back there, because that was part of the hygiene. People back in Jesus' time ate mostly plant-based and a clean diet, which now, believe it or not, that's what doctors and a lot of health people are saying, man, people with a plant-based diet, that's what's what is good. Well, Jesus didn't taste any of my barbecue. If not, he'd probably have some barbecue. Again, whole grains, fruits, and vegetables, dates, and such went a long way back then. Much more than food does today. For those of us who did not know, the average human stomach is the size of your fist. And it stretches. So if you stretch it a lot, well, it stays stretched. But it usually designed to stretch and contract. Also, but that's another subject. Also, especially back then, you can get parasites walking on dirt, drinking water, sleeping in the wrong place. Let's go to Leviticus, brother. Leviticus 11. Let's go back to our roots. Back to the roots. Verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. I know we've read it before, but it's always good to go through it. And there's some relations to why the plant-based diet is good for us in getting rid of parasites. That's why I always hammered the plant-based diet. Okay, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, say to these Israelites, of all the animals that live on the land, these are the ones that you may eat. Okay, you may eat animals that have a divided hoof and that chew the cud. There are some that only chew the cud or only have a divided hoof, but you must not eat them. The camel, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is ceremonial unclean. This is NIV. Ceremonially unclean to you. The hyrax, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof and is unclean to you. Those of us who that frequent in the farm life, and there's a saying back home that you never shoot a rabbit in the summer, because they have these big, huge worms attached to them. I didn't know if you knew that, but that was folklore. It's not folklore, but that's one of the realisms. Verse 7, and the pig, though it has divided hoof, does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. There's a reason for that, brethren. Not just because we're unclean. They are unclean for you. Because a lot of these animals have parasites, ticks, and the toxoplasmosis is on the surface of the skin. You touch that dead carcass, especially if it's been dead for a while, you're susceptible. They seek warmth, like ticks and fleas and obviously these animals. There is a reason for why God said that. Does it say any more that the pigs are horrible? No, pigs aren't horrible. That they're filthy? No. Man made them filthy because you put us in a pen and see if we get dirty. You know? No, it is unclean to you because God said don't eat it. It doesn't matter how good it is. It's God told us not to eat it. Now, some translations, such as this one, the NIV states that ceremonial unclean, it's still unclean by God's standards. I read that was an offshoot, and there were some commentaries about some translators are, that's just a ceremonial Jewish thing about being ceremonial unclean. No, you know, it's unclean, period. And also, in verse 5, it says hyrax. And I said, what's a hyrax? So New King James say rock hyrax. It's a rock badger. Though we know we don't eat badgers either. Let's go to Leviticus 11. Let's keep on 11. And go down to 47, brother. Verse 47. Now, I went through all these translations. I go scroll up and down and see what they all have. And this one I pulled up and it's kind of a... It's a Darby. They call it a Darby translation. Never got it. But you can pretty much follow it with the King James. And verse 47, it says, to make a difference. Okay, this is God's final sign-off on it. To make a difference between that is unclean and the clean, and between the beast that is to be eaten, and the beast that is not to be eaten. So basically that's his conclusion, saying all these things I just defined to you, what is to be eaten, what is not to be eaten. There's nothing for you to start, you know, coming up with your ideas, basically God said. That's why he put this conclusion out. God gave us instructions so we have the ability to discern what to eat and not to eat. In the case of pork, because sometimes we have that decision we have to leave to others to be made. In the case, I accompanied the Hernandez one to a restaurant one Sabbath, and we went to the restaurant, and Ms. Hernandez asked the waitress about a certain broth that came with them on something on the menu, and the waitress didn't know, and she said, well, can you find out? So she went and found out. She went to the cook. The cook didn't know, and I said, okay. And she was just about to say, no, well, she said, let me ask the food manager. So she went to ask the food manager, and we got our question answered. It was a beef brace. But it's further what I'm saying. We have to put our faith onto what people say, you know, on things. So that's what one of the reasons why we pray before we eat. So what is it with humans and pigs anyway? We as humans eat a lot of it. It's a hardy animal. I had some pigs that were attacked by coyotes, and half their ham was eaten off, and they didn't even get infected. And they were pretty hardy. And I went to market and sold them with half their ham missing. They gain weight fast and has a fast turnaround time to go on the market. Because they're almost oblivious to any kind of sickness. And let's face it, and I know your second generation don't know it, but our first generation, we can affirm that they taste good. Scientists have done studies on pigs. Like many of us remember back in the 70s, they did a pig transplant, pig heart to a person back in the 70s. I don't know, those of us. Like it or not, we've got a lot in common with pigs. We're omnivores, and we gain weight, and we are susceptible to the flu. Case in point, what we're going through now. The sheer fact that pigs and humans are mammals means that we share the same genes. But it is simplistic to put an actual figure on the amount of genetic material we have in common, says animal geneticist Professor Chris Moran from the University of Sydney's Faculty of Veterinary Medicine. Mr. Moran goes on to say that one area where comparison of genome sequence isn't all that relevant is the emerging science of transplanting organs and tissues from pigs to humans. Scientists have come up with a solution to stop tissue rejection. Okay? Genetically modifying the pigs by eliminating gene called the gal transferase gene. And then adding a few more human genes to the pigs are injected, are even more acceptable for the immune system. So they are trying to raise pigs that are, their flesh is so close to ours that they will be raised for organ transplants. So some pigs or humans are now even more alike. Another article, the Independent News of back in August of 2017, the opening statement reads, "Scientists have cleared a major barrier to transplanting organs from pigs into humans after removing threatening viruses from the animal's DNA." The new research opens up the possibility of breeding animals to harvest their organs to meet the demand for new tissue. Some challenges include major ethical objections still remain. So the scientists say, well, we've got some people that have a problem with that. But experts said the breakthrough is significant. The step towards pig-to-man transplants, also known as xenotransplantation. Keep that word, brethren, because I went through several articles and I scrolled through a lot of this. This is something in the future. The shortage of organs for transplants is one of the biggest challenges to modern medicine, and the current supply of tissue meets only a tiny amount of total demand. The author said, but the ability to breed pigs specifically for the purpose would allow that to be easily addressed. Since they have similar organs to ours and can be bred to large numbers. Remember I was telling you that pigs breed twice a year or have piglets twice a year? And the pig's heart is almost the same size, if not a little bit larger than ours. Brethren, man genetically modifying animals to fit our needs. Pigs happen to be in the crossfire, that's all. They just happen to be there. Pigs are not bad. We are not supposed to see them along with other animals. God placed them on this earth, this planet, for a reason. Let's go to my tocayo, my name, Mark. Mark 5:11. In Spanish, you call tocayo. Mark chapter 5, verse 11. Now, this is proving more that pigs, according to the doctor, pigs were filthy and they do this and do that. But originally, brethren, pigs are grazers. They feed off grass. We put them in a pen and we throw everything but the kitchen sink at them. Now, I don't know how different many people in our society are from a pig. Anybody eat fast food? You know? I saw an article where some brothers, when they were teenagers, they put a McDonald's Happy Meal, I can't remember what, that's a hamburger and french fries, in their bag and vacuum seal it. I guess they vacuumed it, but they put it and they said, open in 20 years. And they opened it and they didn't even find mold The bread was a little hard, but they looked at the meat, the same. Tomatoes, the same. The lettuce was obviously wilted. But, you know, we badmouth the pigs that they eat garbage. Well, and on the other hand, we eat garbage? Anyway, something to think about. It says, and Mark 5:11 says, now a large herd of swine was feeding through the near the mountain. So they knew they were grazing. Pretty sure they had one or a couple of people. They had people who took care of pigs, herds back then. And it's in some places in Europe, there are, like sheep herders, there are pig herders. Now pigs, don't get me wrong, brother, pigs are not warm and cuddly. Let's go to Proverbs 7. Yeah, because I can attest to that. Oh, Nicholas and I, we back and forth with that. Proverbs 7. Now, and verse 6. Now, back then it says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Now, that saying has a double standard. Dogs, obviously, the physical, don't throw, give holy to what is to God, to dogs, and pearls to swine. That to people, dogs in reference to some people, and pearls on people that are just don't deserving the word of God, because they don't understand. And some will tear you to pieces. Case in point to the elder Stephen, who was thrown, was stoned to death. Now, there's old sayings back home. It says, don't ever sleep in a pig pen. And don't ever, there's always two people watching, feeding pigs. Especially when some people have thrown garbage into a pig pen, and especially if they're large animals, and they'll, tear it up. And that back home, they throw dead chickens through it. But don't slip into it. And people have had, back in the day, had fallen into a pig pen. Not to be found. Not much of them, anyway. Pigs are animals that are flesh-eating. And that means yours, too. If you feed them, especially raw meat. You don't want to fall in the pig's pen, especially large. Brethren, hope you have a better sight on pigs. Again, fear God and keep his commandments.